Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career. I'm Belinda Yonica, and today I'm joined online by Lucy Chirwa, who is a registered counseling psychologist, also a previous colleague of mine, and she is currently a psychologist at the Uton House Addiction and Mental Health Treatment Center. Welcome, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me, Belinda. I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. So as we are thinking about this, where you are currently working with addiction and mental health issues, what does that entail on a daily basis for you?
So a big part of what I do is engaging with my patients on a therapeutic level, one-on-one. We also set up family sessions with our patients because we understand that addiction and mental health difficulties don't just influence the individual, but also impact their whole family system. So it's important to ensure that the families are also part of that process. We engage in group sessions with our patients so that they can work through communication difficulties a lot of the times that they have, and also learn about the consequences of, you know, what it is that they've done when they're, you know, with the substance, when they use their substances, as well as providing them with psychoeducational lectures so that we can provide them with tools once they leave the treatment center, because we realize that you're not recovered, you know, at the end of your 30-day treatment program, but that you're forever going to be in recovery, and you're always going to have to be aware that a substance will always have power over you. However, despite that, you can still utilize various tools in order to overcome those challenges with substances.
And then, I mean, you are now a registered psychologist as well, counseling psychologist, and obviously you have learned certain things within your classroom, you know, so that you are now enabled to do the work that you are currently doing. But what else is there, I mean, especially in this kind of environment as well, what is there that you need to have, skills, competencies, or characteristics?
That's a really great question, Belinda, because I think students, a lot of the time, regardless of what it is that you study, think only about the theoretical aspect of the modules or the courses that they're studying. They don't really look at the practical sense of what it is that we do. So a big part for me is communication. Being able to communicate, number one, is important, but being able to communicate effectively, because if you're ineffective in your communication, people misunderstand what you're trying to say to them, or your body language mismatches the words that come out of your mouth. Being able to work well in a team, in an office space with various types of individuals. You don't have to like everybody, but you definitely need to at least be respectful enough to everybody so you can work with them. And also I would encourage being assertive. There's such a, you know, a culture of just keep quiet, do your work, don't sort of like rock the boat. But sometimes the boat needs to be rocked, and you can do so in a respectful manner without insulting people for no reason. And at least then you get your point across, even if nothing really changes in that environment that you work in. And if you don't like it after a while, you're not a tree. You can move.
Yes.
You can cut a branch off and fly your branch off somewhere else.
Yes.
You know, you're not forced to necessarily stay there. So skills for me, being assertive, communication skills, being able to work in a team, and maybe also just being creative in how you think about problem solving as well.
I try to teach my students as well, you know, never bring me the problem, bring me the solution with it as well. You need to be innovative. You can't just wait for somebody else to give you the answer.
Definitely. Yeah, most definitely.
If we can just quickly take a moment also to talk about mental health, what do you see as currently some of the trends and challenges in South Africa?
Depression and anxiety are definitely on the rise, and suicidality as well. And I think because of the wide variety of information that we have today, so I don't necessarily think these things are on the rise. I just think we have more access to information as well as treatment centers, or, you know, abilities to deal with a lot of these difficulties that we come up with. But definitely depression and anxiety, and people are coming out and asking for help. But I always say to individuals, you've got to be motivated to want to change. Otherwise, you're just coming and sitting in my office and we're just talking, and I'm doing the work, but you are not actually motivated to necessarily do so. I mean, there are other challenges around, you know, different mental health or mental illnesses, rather, but I think depression, anxiety, and possibly also burnout. Burnout is quite a big one. Whether you are working or within the school setting, everyone is just struggling to get back to that normality that we used to know because we had to adjust to COVID and the lockdown and all of that, and then readjust to being back in life at a normal pace with, you know, the economy looking the way it is, with things like load shedding and what that looks like and how it impacts us on a daily basis. So I think for me, those are the main two things, depression, anxiety, and definitely the rise of suicidal attempts, or at least people thinking around possibly taking their lives because they don't see a way out of their difficulties.
If there's one step that we can take today just to improve our own mental health, what will that be?
You know, the answer to that question would depend on each individual because we're all so different. For me, my first step would be to talk to someone that I trust. That would be my first step. And I would encourage everyone to do that, to find someone in their life who they trust enough, even if they don't necessarily have the words to explain what's going on, just to reach out to somebody and say, listen, I'm struggling and I've tried ABC to kind of cope and I'm not coping and I don't know where to go with this and how to beat the difficulty that I'm going through. So please help me. If that is not an option, then journaling has always been something that I, you know, encourage people to do. Write your thoughts down. See what the pattern is. See what it is that you're struggling with so that you also can get an indication of how to actually, you know, how when you do reach out for help, how to really actually work through those difficulties because you have an idea of what it is that you're struggling with. And if we really, really go back to basics, just sit and think, am I taking care of myself physically? Because a lot of the time, a lot of those things go out the window. You stop taking care of yourself. Something simple as brushing your teeth or taking a shower or, you know, going outside and getting some fresh air, sitting in the sun for 5 minutes, even though the sun right now is trying to kill us because it's like 5 million degrees. But, you know, those simple things, having lunch, having breakfast, getting a good night's rest, you know, start there, start with the physical. And if that doesn't work out, then start to escalate to different solutions like speaking to somebody or, getting a journal or even calling, you know, a health center that might assist you with what it is that you're going through so that they can refer you to the appropriate services that you might need.
And is there a specific number or an email address or a website that you can think of, you know, where people can reach out, whether they are now part of a university or not, you know, just being in your own career, where you can reach out for some help?
So you can, if you are studying, definitely reach out to your institution. Most institutions have got counseling centers and the counseling services are free. So definitely go there. If you are someone who is more external, unfortunately, I don't know the numbers off by heart, but I can provide them to you after this. But SADAG is an organization, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, that offers a wide variety of services for individuals. And they've got 24-hour crisis line, as well as Lifeline, who also does the same. And those are the top two that come to mind for me most definitely.
Lucy, so tell me a bit about your own journey from being a student into the position where you are currently at. I mean, how did that happen for you?
So I, after matric, was like, I don't know. I changed my mind about career so many times because there's always pressure, right, in high school to figure out what you're going to do after matric. And I was like, what actually do I want to do? And I was like, I'm going to be a doctor and a lawyer and a teacher. And then I had a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, who said to me, you know, I see you as a psychologist. And I was like, what's that? You know, this is the first time I ever sort of heard about what a psychologist is. I knew what a social worker was, but not really what a psychologist was. And I was like, okay, great, I'm going to apply for that. But my family didn't think that it was a great idea from an economy point of view and a sustainability point of view. So my dad suggested I'd rather go study biotechnology at TUT. And I did. I went to TUT for about 1.5 years to study biotechnology. But I just felt like I was dying inside and I really wanted to study psychology. And in my second year, in the middle of my second year, I told my parents I don't want to do this anymore and I'm going to apply to study psychology at any of the other institutions that offer the course. And I was accepted. And in 2009, I started my first year at psychology. Absolutely loved it. Still thinking that after 3 years, I would be a psychologist. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, actually, it takes a really long time. But from the journey of first year all the way up to master's, my road was linear, if you could say that, because I knew I was in the space I needed to be in. Even though for the master's selections, you don't know if you're going to be selected or not. So
very tough.
I didn't know if I was. I applied to one university because I didn't have money to be traveling all over the country, to be going to every institution. And I just, I prayed and I said, this is what I'd like to do. And if it's for me, great. If not, then we'll do a plan B, whatever that looks like. And I was accepted into the program and I finished the program. I did my internship, wrote the board exam, and then I qualified. So it took a good 7-8 years. All the way from 2009 to qualify to actually become a psychologist. So that's my journey,
And if there's one day that you can sort of like highlight, what would be your highlight of your career so far?
I thought about this question when I got the brief from you, and I was like, that's a really good question. And a lot of times I would think people would mention what they necessarily do in their jobs, but for me, it's more about me, which sounds weird, but when I had my first job ever after qualifying, I was a temporary employee at the University of Johannesburg, and I remember that the performance management meetings were coming up. So a lot of people were saying to me, don't worry about it. No one asks anyone who's temporary to do the performance management meetings. And for some strange reason, I felt left out. I was like, why? Just because I'm I can't have the lead. And the team leader at the time, Ian, I don't know if you remember Ian from Career Services. He actually had the meeting with me and he sat me down and he's like, listen, I know you're a temp, but I really appreciate the fact that you're part of the team and I'd like to get feedback from you. I'd like to know how you're experiencing it, if you have any ideas for the unit. And that just blew my mind that he saw me. I was validated. I was seen. And he made me feel like I belonged to the team, even though I was temporary. And I will never forget that. It's one of my favorite highlights in my career. And, I mean, I have a lot when it comes to patients and clients and seeing clients and the work I do with individuals that I work with. But when I really think about first time in the world of work, all I've been doing is studying, and here comes a leader who says to me, listen, we see you, we want to hear from you, and I'd like to involve you in the process. So that's my highlight.
You have now been, in psychology. You did some biotech for a moment. You went back to psychology. This is where you need to be. But if I need to take that completely off of the table, that's not an option for Lucy. What else would you have liked to do?
Funny enough, I would still be in the helping industry, and I think I would actually love to be a gynecologist. I just don't have stamina.
So, if we have to go to back to real life now, what makes you good at your job?
First and foremost, I think I'm quite a people's person. People connect with me. It used to freak me out when I was younger because I would just say hi to people and they would tell me their whole life story. And I'm like, all I said was hello. I don't know why you're telling me about bird and cats and your mom and dad. Like, I was so confused. And as I've gotten older, and especially in the profession that I'm in, it's a strength of mine, that people somehow trust me enough to share their deepest journeys with me, and I always say to them, I'm thankful that you would even allow me into your space, into your world, to help you work through whatever it is that you need clarity for, and I will walk alongside with you. So definitely being a people's person, and I'd like to think deeply about things, which is weird because growing up, we were never encouraged, or I wasn't really encouraged, to be a critical thinker.
Yeah.
We tell you do this, you do it, don't ask any questions. And yet I do. I think deeply about things. I think about how will this work for this patient or for this client, because not one size doesn't fit all. And I think I would like to think that I critically think about them. Even after that 1 hour that I've seen them for, they just think, oh, you saw me for 1 hour a day. And I'm like, listen, my seven days a week, you pop up in my head. And yeah, I think I'm creative. I'm still sort of like figuring out
what creativity is. Come on, that's not even up for negotiation. Just look at your earrings. Every time I see you, you've got the most amazing things on. You are creative.
Thank you, Belinda. And I definitely work. I'm an advocate for people. Like, if I believe in something, especially in the world of work, I will fight for you. Like, I will be there and say, okay, where do I need to sign up? And, you know, where are we striking? What are we doing? Yeah. Let's go. Who do I need to have a good talking to? I'm definitely up for advocating for people and just helping people realize also their potential. I'm the leader that wants to help someone grow in that leadership, so I can step down and allow them to shine in that role, so, and then I can just move on to something else.
Mm. If you have to share one secret about your job, something that outsiders would never guess, what will that be?
Yeah, see, this question threw me for a loop because I was like, a secret in psychology. And then I was
everything is a secret.
This is true. This is very true. Maybe the first secret is you're not going to be a psychologist after 3 years. You're still not going to be a psychologist after getting your master's. It's only once you pass that board exam are you then able to practice. So maybe just doing, you know, proper research into the career. But I was thinking more around misunderstandings around the psychology field. One of the things is people assume I can prescribe medication, and I'm like, I'm not a doctor. I can't do that. I'll send you to a psychiatrist who will prescribe you medication, you know. Another one is people don't think we're people. It's weird. They idolize us as if, oh my gosh, because you're helping me so much with my life, you clearly must have everything in control and under control. And I'm like, no, I'm a person.
Normal.
I've got to use the same tools I'm giving you for my own life. Mm. So that's quite a big one. And another one is they think we're always available. And I think it's because of TV and movies. Yeah. You know, oh, you know, Lucy, can I call you at like 8 p.m.? If I have no.
No, we'll no, the answer is no. You.
No, you cannot call me. I also have a life, you know. I also have boundaries, and I need to be able to kind of switch off somehow and live my life outside of my profession. And last but not least, I don't read minds. I'm not psychoanalyzing you every 5 seconds. I promise. I'm not.
Yes.
I'm just talking.
And listening. Yes. Lucy, I'm going to get to a part that I call this or that. Are you ready for that? All right. Here we go. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Sweet or salty?
Can I say both?
Yes.
Okay, both.
Agreed. Remote or on-site?
So a bit of both. I think it would just depend on what's going on with me. But yeah, a bit of both on-site and remote.
Okay. Every morning I?
Breathe. I do a breathing exercise every morning.
Nice. And my favorite word is?
Batum, for some reason. So that's the word. It's a batum. Yeah, it's like an expression. So after every sentence, I'm like, batum.
Batum, yes. I get you. Lucy, thank you so much for your time with this session as well. I really appreciate it. And all of the best also now in this, I still call it the new position, but you have been there for some time now, but all of the best with that as well.
Thank you so much, Belinda. This was fun, and I really hope that the information I shared was useful for your listeners.
Thank you. That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.